I thank you, ladies, for the and ushers for your help. The ushers are going to take just a minute to get back in here, but we're going to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have a handout for you tonight, and due to just a little bit of a later start into the study, we're going to go ahead with the and not have the special tonight. And I thank Faith and Charlotte for understanding, and we will definitely hear from them another time. So if you would like a handout, raise your hand. Usher's other men are coming with those, and to just get those out as quickly as possible. I appreciate you fellas doing double time tonight and helping with that. We're on the subject of spiritual gifts, and I do want to get, we may not get all of this lesson out this evening, but I want to get started into it, and we'll see if we can get through it. If not, we'll be back here again next Wednesday night, all right? So next Wednesday evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll take a few moments. Once you get your hand out, we'll pray and then we'll get started into this lesson. Anybody need one? Did not get one yet. All right. Everybody serviced? Missing a few right in the middle here. Okay, that whole middle section right here. And over there too. I'm sorry. Boy, did we run out tonight? We got plenty? Okay, great. Let's pray. Keep your hand up. They'll catch you. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to have the Bible study. Speak to our hearts. May you teach us from your word, I pray, on this very important matter. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. My burden, my heart is this for this series. I don't know how long it will last. I don't see it being too lengthy. But just that every member of Faith Baptist Church will understand how important you are to the overall function of the body that meets here in this assembly, okay? And a couple of lessons already on it. I won't go back and renew any of that. We get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. So it's well known and documented that the church at Corinth was a troubled church. It was a carnal church. They had divisions among them. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. They had an unrepentant member living in open immorality. Immorality that even the Gentiles wouldn't take part in. And so they had a lot of problems in this church. Now, another area that was being abused in the church was that of spiritual gifts. You see, beginning in verse number 1 here, Paul says, "Now." And when you read the word now in the book of 1 Corinthians, it's something that Paul is dealing with that was specifically asked him by somebody who wrote him a letter. Somebody wrote him a letter and told him about what was happening at the church at Corinth. And they had some specific questions for him. And you'll find the word now several times in the book. So when you get to chapter 12, verse number 1. He writes here, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts." There's a problem. Somebody's written to him about it. He said, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So Paul's desire for the church is to know the truth about the proper use of God's gracious spiritual gifts. And remember, we looked at that last week in 1 Peter chapter 4. By God's grace, He gifts the members of the body with these spiritual gifts. Now, that is the subject in chapters 12, 13, and 14 in this letter. But before Paul plunges into teaching about gifts, he deals with a subject that is really remarkable. But it ties into the abuse that they were experiencing in this area. Look at verse number 2. He says here, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away." Now don't miss those two words right there. "Carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So Paul reminds them that previously as Gentiles, and I would imagine that the bulk of the church membership of Corinth was Gentile, probably a few converted Jews, but mostly Gentiles. And he reminds them that previously as Gentiles, they had practiced idolatry and worshipped false gods. Now, number one on your sheet of paper here, in this worship, they would get carried away in fleshly indulgences in the name of worship. All of it in the name of worship. They would get carried away in these fleshly indulgences. Now, We have learned before about the sensual, idolatrous temples that were in existence in almost every major city in the world at this time. Almost everywhere Paul went, he encountered an idolatrous temple, false gods, and it was their quote-unquote worship was filled with fleshly indulgence. Often, as in Corinth, the worship involved prostitution and other forms of fleshly indulgences. Okay? That's hard to believe, but that was common in Bible days. When Paul was taking the gospel to the known world at that time, making his missionary trips, you had these temples given to idolatry, false idols, false gods. And I mean, they were just, I think I talked before about the gluttony that took place, and then the vomiting, and then the sensuality, and then the prostitution. It's hard to believe, folks, but that's the honest truth. It was all going on in the name of worship. Now, in John chapter 4, we won't turn there. In verses 23 and 24, Jesus told the woman at the well this. Now listen carefully. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers. Now notice that, true worshipers. Folks, if Jesus took care to mention the term true worshipers, what does that tell you? There had to be false worshipers. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay? The time is that now, the time comes, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. That's little s. That's not capital S. Lowercase s, talking about our spirit, the spirit of man, the heart, the spirit, enthusiasm, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God's looking for that. God is a spirit. Jesus talking here. God is a spirit, capital S. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He said that after He told, in His conversation with the Samaritan woman, you know, she said, oh yeah, you know, you worship in Jerusalem, we worship over here, but we all worship the same God. It's all worship. And Jesus said, you know not what you worship. It's not all the same worship. It's not all the same God. It's not all the same right. It's not all the same kind of worship. And he mildly rebuked her. And folks, listen. What was going on back in this day in first century Christianity is going on today in the 21st century Christianity. We've got a lot of worship that involves fleshly indulgences. Now, I'm going to play you a video tonight because I've talked about this often, and rather than just talk about it, I want to show you firsthand what is going on in the name of worship. Unfortunately, in some Baptist churches, in some quote unquote Christian universities and colleges, and I'm going to just show you what goes now. And you know, Brother Mick and I were talking about it. And he said, I fast-forward it to halfway through because then you really start to see it. And I said, that's okay. Then I got to thinking. I said, no, I want you to take it back to the very beginning because I want you to understand those two words at the beginning of in verse number 2, carried away. Carried away. Because how this thing starts and how it ends is a good picture of what I'm talking about tonight. I'm going to spare you the audio. And the reason I spare you the audio is because I know some of you parents work very hard to protect your children from the kind of junk that's up here, that's on this video. So we're going to see the video without the audio. Brother Scott, you do have that muted. Okay. All right, I hope you can see. I don't know how detailed you can see it. This is a song being performed called In Christ Alone. All right? And I just want you to see the audio of this. It's going to take 4 or 5 minutes, five and a half minutes. Okay, I'm sorry, but no music. Okay, and I'm not sorry. I'm happy no music. Okay, but I want you to—it's the carried away part. It's the emotion that I want you to pay attention to now. Okay, and unfortunately, it's not going to be bright enough, I'm afraid. But we'll see what we've got. Anybody that ever went to a rock concert back in the 60s or 70s, it's the same thing. They used to be confined to charismatic churches. Looks like Eric Clapton. I don't know how far into this video are we, Brother Scott? A little over halfway. So you can see it's just building and building. It didn't start out this way. But really, we're just getting into the height of it right now. That's probably enough just to get the idea of what I'm talking about tonight. Instead of going, it just goes on and on. It gets worse and gets worse and gets worse and gets worse. That's worship. That's worship. I don't believe that's the kind of worship the Bible talks about. You say, well, the words are so good. Folks, look, that's about as absurd as anything. Yeah, okay, so it has good words. You can't throw out everything else just because there's good words to it. Listen. Not all worship is of God and for God. I'm going to tie this in because this is exactly what's happening here in the church at Corinth. We'll get there in just a minute. But not all worship is of God and for God. You say, you know what? You're wrong to try to judge what. I don't think so. Jesus looked at that woman and said, ye know not what you worship. There had to be some parameter. There had to be some boundary. There had to be some guideline. And Jesus gave it. Number two on your sheet. Correct worship is not just in spirit. It is guarded by truth. It's not just in spirit. It is guarded by truth. Now the sad part about it is, you know, this is not just found in charismatic churches anymore. This is going on in Baptist churches. And it's not just in America, folks. It's all over the world. It's permeating England. It's permeating Australia. To the place where we are influenced by those places now. They'll bring those groups over from Australia and those other groups over from England and put them in churches that are not just limited, not just limited to charismatic churches now, but churches, even Baptist churches and former Baptist universities. Correct worship is not just in spirit, it is guarded by truth, and here lies some of the trouble today. Number three on your sheet, on the one hand, there is great enthusiasm, spirit, but no truth. Spirit, but no truth. There is great enthusiasm for God. Those folks are not, you know, they're not there in the name of the devil. They're there in the name of God, swaying and singing and in some cases, in some places, speaking in some unknown gibberish. There's a lot of sincerity. There's a lot of aggressiveness. There's a lot of, you know, wow, let's put our all into it. There's music, but not music that is guarded by truth. There is spirit, but it's not bounded by truth. Okay? Now, number four, on the other hand, what other problem we got today is there is truth, but it is dead orthodoxy. So you've got truth, but no spirit. On the other hand, there is truth. It is dead orthodoxy. So you've got truth, but no spirit. And folks, you know, that it's stale. It's dry. It's dead. You know, 15 minutes into the message, people are bored to tears. They're looking at their watch. They're wondering who texted them because they feel the vibration from their cell phone. They're looking at their shoes, thinking it's time to buy a new pair, or thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow, and on it goes, because the singing has no life. There's not been a tear in the eye in forever. There's commitment to truth, but there's no spirit. There's no heart. And this is why they're flocking to this. Because this has spirit. This has life. But it's not boundaried by truth. It's not guarded by truth. So you've got two problems. You've got both problems going on. There must be worship that is defined by spirit and truth. There's got to be a place that has the truth, but the truth is lived out, or the truth is exercised by people who put their hearts in it. That's why, you know, I exhort us when we sing these hymns, don't just let the words spill out of your mouth. Man, think about what the hymns are saying. Think about the words. They're powerful. And you know what, folks? I'll promise you, you'll get just as much, if not bigger, blessing from the Holy Spirit taking those words and using them to encourage you than you would some fleshly jumping around and gyrating to music that has no boundary. Put your heart in it. Put your heart in it. We're losing young adults. We're losing young couples. I don't mean us here, but I'm talking about in fundamentalism around the world, around the country. Because it's dead. It's dry. It's stale. I thank God for the amens. I thank God for the response from the pew. I thank God for the enthusiastic singing. I thank God for it. I thank God for the tear in the eye like we had here on Sunday night. And God moved my heart with some emotion Sunday morning. You know, there's got to be some life with the truth. Now, how does this tie in with Corinth? And this, I don't guess we're going to get a whole much further than this tonight, but that's okay. So Paul says here, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So here's the problem. They got great confusion in this church when they have their meetings. Some were making an abuse of the gift of tongues, okay? Maybe it wasn't music like we saw here tonight, but it was an abuse of the gift of tongues. And they got carried away, indulging their flesh as... There's not one person in this room can argue the fact that that was fleshly. You can't argue that. That was flesh. They were getting fleshly in their worship, indulging their flesh as a part of the worship, maybe not through music like this, but through this abuse of the spiritual gift of tongues. And things were being said that were horrifying. But it was okay because it was worship. Look at verse number 3. "Wherefore I give you to understand," Paul says, I want you to understand this, "that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." What? What do you mean, Paul? Paul sets the record straight. Number 5 on your sheet, no man speaking under the leadership of the Holy Ghost curses Jesus. You say, "Pastor, surely that was not happening." Then why did Paul mention it? It was happening. And it was happening as the spiritual gift of tongues was being abused and they were being carried away in the flesh. And evidently, some or more than one were standing up in this worship service, out of control, cursing Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "I'm here to tell you, set the record straight, give you to understand, nobody ever speaking under the leadership of the Holy Ghost curses Jesus Christ. Does not happen." Look at what he said. "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now, it obviously was happening in the church, or there would have been no need to mention it. somebody stood up in the confusion of being carried away in the abuse of this gift of tongues, which we're going to study a little bit in the next several weeks, okay? It was a sign gift. That's all I'll say tonight. It was a sign gift. There were stipulations for it. But some, it was being abused, and they were being carried away, and somebody said some horrible things about Jesus. By the way, it is horrible to say, I believe Jesus was a great teacher and preacher, but He's not the Son of God. It's horrible to say that. It's horrible to say, I believe Jesus was God's Son, but not the promised Messiah. That's Christ. Well, I believe He's God's Son, but He's not Christ. He's not Jesus Christ. He's Jesus. But not Christ, meaning He's not the Anointed One, the Messiah. Or, I believe Jesus is God's Son, but not that He is Lord, not that He is God the Son. Which, Brother Marasco, I'm sure some of the Mormons would say that. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. To deny the deity of Jesus, to deny... Well, look at, turn over to 1 Corinthians 16. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Hold your place, you're right there in 12. Just a few pages over to 1 Corinthians 16, okay? So He says... In 12, He says that evidently there was somebody in the church at Corinth who was abusing the spiritual gift of tongues. They were getting carried away in the flesh, and somebody was standing up and saying, yeah, ugly things about Jesus Christ, denying Jesus' deity evidently. He's not God, and people were saying, oh, amen, amen, that's worship. What? Folks, just because it's called worship doesn't mean it is worship. Okay, now look here. So look at chapter 16, verse 22. And I want you to know, Paul comes all the way back around at the end of this letter, and he says, if any man love not the... Look at the title. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole kit and caboodle. So what does that mean? That means if a person does not believe, number 6 on your sheet, if a person does not believe that Jesus is the Christ and that the Christ is Jesus and that Jesus Christ is Lord, then they are accursed. That's what it means, folks. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. You understand that that's the condition some of God's chosen people are in today, the Jewish people. They deny the Lordship of Jesus. They deny that He's the Messiah. And until God comes and gives them clarity of that and they see the truth, that's horrible. That's horrible. So if a person does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, that the Christ is Jesus, and that Jesus Christ is Lord, then they are accursed. So back in chapter 12, Paul says, hey, the guy who's standing up, claiming to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and gibberish, and saying that Jesus Christ is whatever He said, that's not worship. That's being carried away with fleshly indulgences. And that man is cursed because he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's going on in the church at Corinth here. Now, the Holy Ghost leads men to say that Jesus... Let's go back to chapter 12. The Holy Ghost leads men to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Other religions and false teachers of the day and of our day spoke and taught about a coming deliverer. It was not uncommon for a faith, any faith, to believe that a deliverer would come. Number 7, the true deliverer is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost recognizes Him as the only Lord. As the only Lord. That's why in several scriptures the Bible makes it clear that there is only one Son of God. Not two. Not three. One. Okay? Listen to these verses. 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Who wears that name on His side, on His thigh? In Revelation 19, Jesus Christ does. He is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jude, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Only. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There were many faiths in the first century. There are many faiths today who speak of a coming deliverer, who speak of one who will come and help them. But folks, there is only one true deliverer, only one true Lord, only one true Lord Jesus Christ, and no man ever speaking under the leadership of the Holy Ghost curses that name. Curses that name. Nobody. And Paul had to, before Paul gets to the mention of the first truth, when you get to verse number 4, 5, and 6, he starts teaching us about the Godhead being involved in the matter of spiritual gifts. That's number 8 on your sheet, but we won't even go there tonight. Before Paul gets to that, he takes care of this unbelievable problem in this church, where they were literally being carried away in the name of worship, in the flesh. Look, I believe with all my heart that it is well within what is Spirit-led for there to be a spirited service. An amen, a glory to God, a praise the Lord. But nothing that leads to what you saw up here. And folks, if you'd have heard the music, it started out at the beginning here, and the music just built, and the music built, and the music built, and the intensity of the music built. And as the music builds, you see the response to it building with it. It's fleshly. It's all understood. Justify it all you want to. Try to justify it all you want to. You'll never do it. It's fleshly. In its root, it's carnal, which is exactly what was happening here. They didn't come behind in any spiritual gift. They had every spiritual gift in that church you could possibly have. Every one of them. But Paul said about them, you're carnal. And those spiritual gifts got abused and carried away in the flesh to the point where some people, or one person at least, was standing up and, I don't know what he said, was calling Jesus accursed. In the name of worship. And they put up with it. And Paul said, I'll set the record straight. That never happens. Period. Amen? Never does. I think it's well within the what would be Holy Spirit led to have a spirited service. And I just want to say tonight, and I'm going to stop because to get into the next section will take me longer than what time I have left tonight, so we're going to stop here. But I just want to say, folks, look, I would say 90% of the people in this room are adamantly opposed to that kind of stuff. Okay? But listen carefully. I'll tell you what I'm opposed to is dead dry orthodoxy. I'm just as opposed to that. So when you come, if you're opposed to that and you don't want to lose people to that, especially young couples. You don't want to lose people to it? Better sing with all your heart. And when God prompts you in a controlled way to let your hand in the air and say, bless the Lord or whatever, have at it. If it gets uncontrolled, if it gets carried away, it's not of God. But the other end of the spectrum is just as bad. A dead, dry orthodoxy that has no life, which is why they go to stuff like this. God give us the worship that is both spirit in spirit and truth. That makes sense, folks? That's what's going on here in Corinth. Still going on today. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed after a couple of announcements. Father in heaven, it's been a good night to be in church. We didn't get through with the lesson, but I appreciate Brother Marasco and the presentation. I pray that you'll help him and his family. And God, would you please help our church? Lord, I don't want to lose people because of dead orthodoxy to worship, quote unquote, that's carried away and is not real worship. Lord, you're looking for people to worship you in spirit with enthusiasm that is guarded and boundaried by truth. You're seeking such to worship you. And Lord, I just trust, Lord, when you look down at the worship services of Faith Baptist Church here, I pray, God, you'll see a sincere people with a heart for you, a heart for you, a heart for your word, singing and making melody in their hearts, with their heart, Lord, putting their all into it, but yet, Lord, guarded and boundaried by truth. And God, I believe it will help, it will keep people. It will help people stay on the right path. Help us, oh God, please, to worship you in spirit and in truth. In this crazy day, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just an invitation.